This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So let's do some NBA talk with one of the best in the business. He covers them day in, day out for SB Nation, senior NBA writer Paul Flannery, who you should be following on Twitter at PFlans. That's PFLANNS. Paul Flannery from SB Nation joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Paul?
I'm good, Jody. How are you, sir?
Good. Appreciate you coming on board. Steph Curry started his MVP campaign tonight?
Yeah, right. I know. He was the guy until he got hurt. And not a moment too soon for those Warriors because they were, you know, they've been sliding a little bit, and you can really tell now how much Steph means to that team. In a vacuum, Durant's probably a better player. But in a weird way, Steph is more important to what they do.
He is the Warriors because he was there first. It's been there longer and the like. And he's the guy, if you pick a have-to-have guy, he's it. You're right. Durant might be a better player, but he was added to the mix after Steph had already won a championship. And I did note this when Draymond and Durant had their big to-do. Steph Curry was not with the team at the time.
Right.
Do you think that that would have happened if Steph Curry were there?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell. And, like, God, that feels like 6 months ago, the way this league works, doesn't it? And, you know, I mean, Steph is the stabilizer. Steph, you know, Draymond's obviously the emotional leader and all that. But Steph is really the stabilizer. He's the, you know, he's kind of the grown-up amongst that quartet of stars. And, you know, I think you're going to see Steph put his stamp back on this team and back on this franchise as, you know, as the rest of the season gets going, because I think everyone's pretty much under the assumption this is going to be it for Durant. And if, you know, Steph Curry is a proud guy, two-time MVP, you know, this was his creation. He willingly gave a little bit to get Durant there. And I think you're going to see him put his stamp back on this thing as they go forward.
I've asked any NBA guy I've talked to in the last 2 weeks a hypothetical question, so I'll put it to you as well. Get to the end of the season, Warriors do what they've got to do. They may finish first in the West Coast or second or third, but they get it together, roll in the playoffs as they've done as many times, save one season with the Cavs to championship after championship. They do it again this year, and Kevin Durant opts out of his contract and says, listen, I'd be willing to come back and help you open up the new building, but this Draymond and me thing just can't be fixed, and I really don't want to have to deal with it and the like. So if you want my name on the dotted line, you got to move Draymond. What would the Warriors do?
Oh, I think they'd move Draymond. Has anyone said differently out of curiosity?
No.
Because, I mean, we're talking about one of the top, in my mind, again, in a vacuum, you put everybody out there right now, one player draft, I'm taking Durant. You got to do what you got to do.
Do you think Steph would sign off on that?
That would be trickier. That would be trickier, and that would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
Exactly,
right? Now you're playing like three-dimensional chess.
Right.
Now you put it back on Steph.
Correct.
What are you going to do? Man, that's a good one, Jody. I got to think that one through a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, fair enough. You want to give it some more thought, you've got to answer before. If not, we'll get you back on in a couple weeks. And oh, by then, Golden State will still be in it. They might not be on top. The thing I can't believe is the Clippers are on top. I guess I should be giving, and I catch some Clipper ball, but they're on late night for an East Coast guy, so I don't see all their games. Is Doc Rivers doing an unbelievable job with this team? Because I like their roster, but I don't love their roster. But you look up, they're 15-6, got the best record in the Western Conference. How are they doing it?
They're great. They're really great. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm an East Coast guy, too, so I have a hard time. But they're worth staying up for because I'm a sucker for teams that play the right way, and they play the right way. Montrezl Harrell, I'm not sure how many like casual fans are familiar with this guy, but he has really come on this year. To me, he's been the, you know, we're at the quarter point of the season. He was the sixth man at the quarter point. He's terrific. And you know, like you said, they got a lot of good players. When, in the regular season, if you have a lot of good players, you can get away with not having quote-unquote great players. That does come back to haunt you in the playoffs. Doesn't mean they would be an easy team to deal with or anything like that. But this is a team that's absolutely positively built for regular season success. And Doc's doing a great job. Doc is a really good coach with these kinds of teams. Really good. Really excellent. Didn't work with the superstars necessarily. But he's really good with this kind of a team. They play hard for him. They play defense. They play unselfish. And Gallinari and Tobias Harris, another couple of guys, are playing really, really well. If you're making an all-star team, it's really hard in the West, really hard. But Tobias Harris has got to be at least mentioned.
And I don't know about you, but I've always believed, I certainly believe, he was overpaid and maybe overrated a little bit as well. I know DeAndre Jordan shoots the highest percentage in the league every year, except at the foul line, and is the biggest rebound guy in the league and one of the best rim protectors. But he's a deterrent on offense, and I surely believe that that's helped the Clippers, is to move on from him on the offensive end.
Oh, I totally agree, 100%. 100%. DeAndre is such a fascinating guy because he went from underrated to overrated to underrated back to overrated in the span of like 3 years. It's an egalitarian offense now. I mean, the Clippers, for all that Lob City stuff, were really hard to watch because it was Chris Paul pounding the ball. It was Blake doing his thing. And, you know, now it's, you know, five guys moving, passing, cutting, all that kind of stuff. Like I say, I'm a sucker for teams that play the right way. It's a great way to get by in a regular season.
And the Clippers are on top. But, oh, by the way, the entire Western Conference is fascinating because you've got 14 teams within 5.5 games of that final playoff spot. You can't count out the Spurs, and the Rockets have snuck up on 500. They're 10-11. Utah has been a playoff team last couple of years. They're on the outside looking in. Doncic has raised the Mavericks game. You've got New Orleans that's outside looking. Who the hell's not going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference?
I know. And, you know, I mean, San Antonio's in trouble. I think the Spurs are in big trouble. I think Houston's going to get it together just fine as long as they stay healthy. Utah's been the massive disappointment to me. I thought they were, you know, they were going to be a 50-55 win team. Utah and the Celtics are kind of parallel to one another in different conferences as far as disappointment goes. But, yeah, there's going to be some really good teams that don't make the playoffs. And what about this? What if New Orleans doesn't make the playoffs with Anthony Davis? How do you then, you know, offer him the mega max contract this summer? And if you're Anthony Davis, how do you say, okay, yeah, sure, let's sign up for another 5 years of this? I mean, that's talk about a franchise in on the brink. This is wild. This is absolutely wild. I think Houston's going to get there. I kind of think Utah will, but, you know, which means somebody will have to get knocked down. There's 14 good teams in the West. It's amazing.
Right. And two that are high, including the Clippers, above and beyond the Clippers, Denver and Oklahoma City. And I thought Oklahoma City was a playoff team, didn't know 3 seed, which is where they sit right now. Now, they could lose 3 games in a row and be the 8 seed in the blink of an eye. But right now, they're the 3rd seed. Denver, Oklahoma City, I tell you, one of the two is not making a postseason. Which one is it?
If one of the two is not, I think they're both going to make it, but I'd probably have to take Denver. I think OKC is too solid to fall. I mean, Westbrook has now become sort of under the radar again. He's been terrific since he came back. Paul George has been playing really, really, really well. Nobody talks about Steven Adams. Steven Adams is good. He's really good. I would like OKC a lot more if Robertson could get healthy. He's a kind of a difference maker for them because they become scary defensively with him. They're already the top rated defense in the league last time I checked. Denver, I think has finally turned the corner, but they have been flighty over the years. But I think they have finally turned the corner. I think both those two teams are solid.
Okay, and we'll see if they can hang on because it's going to be a tremendous race just to make the playoffs, as it was last year. That's the way they finished up last year, too. The difference between 3rd and 9th in the West was that close, and it is that way again this year. All right, let's jump over to the East. I thought the Celtics were the team to beat. I thought the Kawhi experiment in Toronto would be interesting. So far, it's been phenomenal, and I guess it could have gone that way. But I thought Boston was the team to beat. They're already 6.5 games behind Toronto. What's wrong with the Celtics?
Well, they started turning around just a little bit, but there was a lot wrong with them. It's one of those things, Jody. I think everybody was trying to do the right thing, and in trying to do the right thing, nobody was doing what they should be doing, you know? And I think being overly conscientious can sometimes hurt a basketball team, not playing with freedom and pace. I don't want to put this on Jaylen Brown because it's not his fault, but he's been hurt for a couple of games. They started Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. All of a sudden, they got a better flow going. They've got better balance throughout their lineups. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Jaylen comes back. Hayward's already come on, you know, has decided to come off the bench. And I still think at the end of the day, when we get to April, they are going, I don't know if they're going to be the team to beat. I think that's now clearly Toronto. I think the Celtics are going to be dangerous again. I just think they're too good to play this way for this long. And, you know, defensively, they've been pretty good. The offense has got to turn it around a little bit. They're going to start making some shots. I think they're probably going to be okay. But it was touch and go there for a little while. When they lost that game to the Knicks at home, I mean, all bets were off at that point.
Sixers are 16-8, third best record in the Eastern Conference, and 12-1 at home. Believe it or not, their only home loss to the Cavs, who are the worst team in the conference and arguably the worst team in the NBA. But this Markelle Fultz situation is just stupefying. They are showing that they don't really need him, but he is just a year and a half removed from being the number one overall pick in the draft. They still haven't even paid the draft pick that they owe the Celtics to get up to take Markelle Fultz. His trade value is minimal, if not non-existent right now. If you're the Sixers, what the hell do you do with Markelle Fultz?
God, I don't know. It's a bad situation. It's a bad situation all around. I feel bad for the kid. I mean, he's, what, 20 years old at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of expectations, a lot of responsibility when you're in the top pick. It sounds, you know, this is from afar. I haven't been there in a while. But from afar, it sounds like they're basically completely exasperated with him at this point. And now they got Jimmy Butler. They can afford to move on. They can say, look, this is our team. This was taken by the general manager, who's no longer the general manager, who replaced the other general manager, who's no longer around either. So, you know, it's not their pick anymore, in a sense. But I don't know what they do. I mean, I think the best thing for him is to either get healthy, get himself straight, get himself together. You know, it's only his second year. I mean, if you can get away with, you know, keeping him and getting himself back together, maybe you got a shot to salvage something. If you trade him now, you're just selling low. But yeah, this is really unfortunate, and I hate to see it happen. He's a nice kid, and I hate to see it happen to him. But I mean, clearly I don't think it's just physical, and you know, he's got to get himself right.
Speaking of the general manager who was replaced by the general manager who's no longer there, Sam Hinkie, he took to a new level the art of tanking in the NBA. It looks like we're primed for another tanking-type season because we've got a couple of teams that are very buried early, and I don't know about you, but I have been wowed by Zion Williamson and what he's done early here for Duke this year. How big a tankapalooza are we going to see over the last several months in the NBA this year?
It's interesting, Jody, because we just named 14 teams in the West that are in playoff contention.
Right.
You can't tank when you're that close. And you look at the East, you know, you got maybe 10, right? I think 10 is right now. So if you're Miami, what do you do? Do you start tanking? If you're the Knicks, you're winning too many games.
Beating the Bucks didn't help the Knicks draft status today.
That's not helping at all. You know, and you know, Brooklyn, God love them, is going to play hard every night because that's who they are. So you're looking at Chicago. You're looking at Atlanta.
Cleveland.
Phoenix is always tanking. So you know, you got that, the core four right there, and then it's who's going to join him in the tank. And Miami is the one I'm keeping an eye on because it has not worked. They've got a lot of, you know, they want it to be what the Clippers are, which is a lot of good players. Hasn't worked out. Haven't been able to stay healthy. They haven't been able to swing a trade for a superstar. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. They got a lot of guys who could have some value if they decided to make a move, if they started to, you know, kind of blow it up at the trade deadline, but that's a weird one for me because they're kind of locked into that situation.
Understood and agreed. All right, last question, and I won't make you go back and answer the Steph question that you have passed on. if we've got a completely free NBA draft, every player in the NBA becomes a free agent, and all you got to do is sign them. You have to give them, since they be your player, they say that you can give them 5-year max, absolute highest money you can possibly give them. and you've got the first player, he agrees to sign with your team, you can pick whichever one you want, who's the first player you're taking? Next 5 years.
I think I'm taking Giannis.
Over Durant?
Yeah, only because of the age.
Right. Giannis is younger, but Durant, do you think we'll see any signs of aging in Durant over the next 5 years?
By year five? Probably.
Maybe. Okay.
Right? And so I think that, and but it, you know, if we're doing like one player, 1 year, it's Durant for me right now.
Right. That's but, why you know, I made Giannis, it five.
Right. I got you. And I would take Giannis slightly over AD just because I think he's a little bit more durable. And to answer your other question, Jody, I'll answer. I think Steph says, you know what? We're keeping Draymond. See you later, Kevin. No, I don't know what he's going to say.
Nor do I. That's why I asked you. Great stuff. Appreciate you coming on, Paul. We'll talk again next couple of weeks, months, whatever, when we get a little closer to the midway point of the season. We got a quarter of the season in our back pocket. We get you on again. We get halfway through.
Thanks, Jody.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.